Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Latte of Heaven.
World. I am so excited to be on tonight. I know we've missed a couple weeks. There were some technical difficulties and schedule conflicts and all that good stuff. So tonight's show, I am just full of energy and so excited to connect with all of you. And I want to thank everybody who sent in questions on my YouTube channel that they want video answers to. I will be filming those actually this weekend. So there will be lots of new information going up on the YouTube channel and on my Facebook. So if you don't follow me there, start doing that so you can stay updated with everything. I am so thrilled about tonight's show because if you do follow me on all those social media platforms, then you realize that this month is Childhood Cancer Awareness Month. And it is for all of September, and that is the motivation or part of the motivation for tonight's show. We will be talking about holistic healing and energy, particularly for children, and also raising spiritually gifted children. So if you have questions about that or anything that relates to those topics, feel free to call in. And my wonderful guest that I'm super excited about will be answering those with me. Her name is Kate Bagot. She is in the UK. And I actually got connected with Kate through a very dear mutual friend of mine. And it was like one of those instant connections. And we both are very, very passionate about working with and helping children. So I thought it would be the perfect combination to support Childhood Cancer Awareness Month. And the colors actually for childhood cancer is gold. So I actually got my nails done today gold with the gold ribbon to support that awareness. And I became very passionate, particularly about this cause or this area of cancer, because a dear friend of mine lost her child recently. And as traumatic as that is, you always try to look for the blessings in these situations. And part of the blessing, as heartbreaking as it was educating myself. And I learned that childhood cancer is one of the areas that has the least amount of research. So children that are diagnosed with cancer and similar diseases receive the same amount of treatment or dosages that an adult human body would receive. So it's very hard on the body, and that's why there hasn't been as many advances with curing childhood cancer, because it's being treated the same as if the disease manifested in an adult body. So one of the ways to help this situation is to get more funding, and to educate people that, you know, only 1% of the funding for cancer goes toward childhood cancer. And unfortunately, childhood cancer is the number one killer of children in the United States under the age of 15. So through the heartache and through this difficult situation of losing this beautiful child to the monster of cancer, I had an opportunity to educate myself, and now I've become very, very much an advocate for childhood cancer and childhood cancer awareness. So if you are interested in getting involved with this cause or this movement to bring about more research, I would ask that you turn your Facebook page gold this month by finding a picture with gold in it or something that relates to childhood cancer and putting that as your cover page to just make a statement that we want some changes in this area to happen. Now, one of the things that can be amazing in helping with any kind of illness, but particularly with children because they are so connected with spirit, is working with them energetically and holistically along with traditional medicine. So that's part of what we'll be talking about. So without further ado, I would love to invite Kate to connect with us. Are you there, Kate?
I am, love. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm so excited, and thank you so much for joining me tonight.
Oh,
Thank you so very much. I am such a fan of the work that you're doing, and I would love for you to tell my listeners or our listeners a little bit about what you do and how they could contact you.
Okay. I work with families, particularly with children and moms.
Hey, Melissa, we just dropped Kate. She's been having some dialing issues tonight.
I had a feeling. And also, you know, spirit can be very, very tricky and get excited, you know, when two very spiritually connected people are getting together, and it can cause interference with this lovely technology. So that's quite okay. I know that Kate does a lot of work with moms and young children and working through phobias and things that are really triggered energetically. And she's been able to do some amazing work, and she's actually in the middle of revamping everything and kind of taking her work in a new direction. So hopefully she'll be back with us in a little bit and she can tell us a little bit more about that. I tend to work with children energetically as well. A lot of the work that I do is with children with autism. For those of you that aren't familiar with autism or children on the spectrum, they tend to be overstimulated, or as I see it, they're very, very spiritually connected. And because they're so advanced spiritually, they can perceive energies and tap into energies and experience things that the average person may not sense. And so with all this extra stimulation, it can cause them to be withdrawn or to pull back from social interaction because there's so much stimulation that they're receiving without even having the physical contact. So as someone that can see the aura or see their energy tends to, now, not every child, because of course, as with anyone, every child is different, but many children on the spectrum or part of the autism group have an aura that actually looks like the same as ours, except very neon, very, very bright. So it's an indication that the chakras which are the main energy points on the body, are actually open more and more consistently than the average person, which means they are indeed taking in and giving out more energy than an average person is. So one of the things that tends to help children on any level of the spectrum is to work with them and educate them about the chakras and how to shut them down a little bit so that they're not taking in as much energy. And for those of you that are familiar, Reiki, which is a form of energy healing, can be very, very beneficial in helping children regulate their energy and have less of the symptomology of autism. So I tend to work in that area and also teach children about protecting themselves, which isn't necessarily blocking them of negative energy. It's not that they have negative energy, but helping them to sort of filter the energy so that it's not as overwhelming for them. So a lot of times, even visualization of a white light around their entire body or all of their chakras can help them to not perceive as much energy at one time. And I'm very, very honored and privileged to say that I have worked with children on the very extreme end of the spectrum who basically would have very little social contact or interaction, and gotten them, after several months of working, have gotten them to a place of actually, you know, allowing their parent to hold them or allowing them to sit in their lap or have eye contact, which can sometimes be difficult. So it just goes to show how much holistic and energy work can benefit, particularly children that may be on the spectrum with autism. So I'm very, very passionate about all children, but particularly this group of children. Another thing that many children tend to respond well to, in my experience, is working with crystals. Because children have had less time here on the earth plane and it's been a shorter amount of time since they were in the divine plane or in the divine energy, they tend to be very sensitive to energetic provoking objects such as crystals to help them. So different crystals can strengthen different chakra points. For instance, if a child is having allergies or stomach allergies, working with the solar plex or the stomach area can really help to help allergies and those types of things, just to strengthen that energy point. So an example would be a sunstone, which actually activates, but it can also filter the solar plex. It's very good in having a child wear a bracelet with sunstone, or having them carry one in their pocket can help with stomach issues of all sorts. So that's another holistic technique that can be beneficial for all children.
Hey, Melissa.
Do we have Kate back yet?
Yes, we do.
Yay!
Okay. Hi, Melissa.
Hi.
I'm so sorry.
No problem. No problem
at all. I think somebody's playing with me.
I'm sure. And, you know, as we're talking about children, of course they get very playful. So it doesn't surprise me at all. At all. So carry on, if you can, about some of the work that you do.
Yeah, so I tend to focus on working with moms and children because it seems to be that the moms are more open to it. There are some dads, obviously, but it tends to be the moms who come with the children. And I work with very, very young children a lot of the time because it seems to be an area that obviously such conventional sort of healing treatments don't really cater for. You can't really ask a 2-year-old to lie down on the treatment couch and that sort of thing. So a lot of the work that I do is sort of creative and play-based. So they might just think that they're playing with the train set or, you know, getting the Lego bricks out or something. And I'll be sort of playing with them and, you know, getting used to their energy. And then I might send them some healing, you know, while they're playing, or I might send it when they go home, when they get to bed and that sort of thing. So, yeah, I deal with all sorts of issues, physical and emotional ones. And with moms as well, because obviously a lot of the time what our sensitive little children are picking up on isn't their issues. It's often their parents' issues or things that are going on in the classroom around them and that sort of thing. So a lot of the time, you know, if mom's anxious about leaving them at preschool, then the children pick up on that and then they're anxious about going to preschool. So, you know, it's sort of helping the mums to understand as well as helping the children.
Absolutely. And do you tend to work with crystals? I was just mentioning how I found in my work that children tend to respond well with crystal energy for working with different chakra points. Do you work with crystals?
I do, yeah. I find particularly things like amethyst for helping them get to sleep. I had one of my daughter's friends actually stopped me outside the school gate at the beginning of this week and said, if I bring my sleep stone, can you recharge it for me? Because it's not working as well anymore.
That's amazing.
So it was lovely. So she brought it the next morning and I spent some time that day charging it back up for her and putting some more energy into it and then gave her it back. So, yeah, it's lovely that they are so connected to it and they love it. And you know, a lot of the time, particularly with little boys, it might just be giving them a pile of crystals with a digger. But the fact that they're touching them and they're, you know, they're sort of surrounded by the energy, just it can have such a massive impact on them.
And one of the things that I actually mentioned when we lost you there for a minute was that a lot of times to help children feel more secure, I tend to work with them on protective energy, but it's a bit, you have to be careful because you don't want to scare them or have them feel that there's something they need to be protected from, but you want to give that sense of security. So
definitely.
When you're mentioning the amethyst, do you talk about that the protective qualities, or how would you approach that particular topic with a child?
I tend to turn protection into a bit of a game because I love to dress up. So if you get them to imagine that they're dressing up in a suit of armor or, you know, a superhero cape or a big, you know, pink sparkly bubble or, you know, my daughter's mad on Egypt. So I talked to her about putting herself in a pyramid and keeping her safe. And then just sort of tell them to make sure it's really strong and, you know, it keeps all the good things in and the bad things out and that sort of thing. And they love it because it's a game.
But, absolutely.
You know, some of the parents have reported amazing results with it. Particularly, I think we forget how energetically chaotic a school classroom is. You know, if you've got who's been in trouble for not doing something before school and one who's had parents shouting the night before or one who's just lost a pet or, you know, there are all these different energies in the classroom. And, you know, particularly sensitive children can really struggle with that because they're being bombarded by it.
And then, of course,
you've got the teacher's issues as well.
Yes, and that falls beautifully into the other topic that I had actually mentioned, which is I tend to work a lot with children who are on the autism spectrum, and I tend to notice in their auras or in their energy that their chakras are a little bit more open on a regular basis than other children, and so just working with the crystals to help them connect with the chakras and sort of shut down can sometimes help to alleviate some of the symptomology of autism. So what you're saying with the classroom is a perfect example of how children are just taking in and giving off energy all the time. So
The more sensitive the child, the more they're affected by it. Yeah.
Yes. So, yes. And do you tend to work more with children? I mean, with boys or girls, or is it pretty even?
It's fairly even, actually. Different age groups, you know, there tends to be different numbers. Teenagers tends to be more girls that I get, you know, sort of asking questions and wanting to know about things more. And the boys seem to retreat a bit then. But the other ages, you know, it's fairly evenly mixed.
I found that as well, even with children on the spectrum, it's pretty evenly balanced between girls versus boys. And I actually mentioned also that a lot of children who are sensitive, energetically sensitive, tend to have issues with the stomach or the solar plexus. So a lot of times working with crystals or working with that energy can help with food allergies and things like that. And
definitely,
in a place like the classroom where they're taking in and out so much energy, that can cause the physical manifestation of food sensitivities and those kinds of things too.
Definitely.
So, tell us a little bit about how you got on this path with working with children.
Wow. Okay. I had some serious health issues myself about 6 or 7 years ago now, and that put me onto the sort of healing path. I've always been interested in crystals and things, but it was really a sort of need to help myself and, you know, help myself stay well that set me on the healing path. And then I loved the energy so much that I wanted to be able to share it with everybody else. And after I'd been working for a couple of years as a healer, the same very lovely friend, Lisa, that connected us, actually said to me, "Kate, you know, why aren't you working with children? You've always worked with children. And, you know, we need people who can understand children to help them in the way, you know, that you now can." Because so many healers who you know, sort of work with adults are pretty terrified with children because it's nothing like the same technique, and, you know, not everybody can relate to children and know how to talk to them and things. And I was a primary school teacher and, you know, a mom, and when Laura was little, I was a childminder, and, you know, I've always worked with children. So it was
so
just the obvious next step, really.
Yeah.
And actually, I feel so much more comfortable working with children. I mean, obviously working with parents as well, because you've got that sort of, you know, that understanding of being a parent and, you know, what they're going through. But I enjoy it so much more because, you know, every day is completely different because depending on the age of the child, you have to completely change, you know, the approach to what you're doing and how you go about it. And an awful lot of it is playing and, you know, craft activities, which is great.
As I know, you know me pretty well now, and I'm very passionate with music, and I find that children tend to respond very, very well to music. And do you use music as part of your modalities when working with children?
Yeah, definitely. As you know, my lovely husband is a very talented musician.
Yes.
And I use his CDs when I'm working with the children because his music's got such amazing healing properties that, you know, it's perfect to have just on in the background. And even going back to when I was working in the classroom, you know, I always had music on in the classroom, you know, as much as I could get away with it, because children are so much calmer and so much more relaxed when there is music.
I'm so glad you brought it up, because this gives me the perfect opportunity to say the wonderful intro that I have now for the show, which I am absolutely in love with, because the vibration is just so high and healing. Your beautiful and lovely husband created it for me, and you actually do the intro for me, and I'm
it was
so
really surreal
thankful.
Because that's right. Yeah, it was
yes.
really surreal listening to it before I had to start yes. talking to you.
So,
yeah.
You know, we've used it now. I think this is the second time, and it's going to be the intro for the show. So it gives me a beautiful opportunity to say thank you. And, you know, for those of you that are looking for spiritual music or music just to feel more connected or to help your children connect with their guides or angels, I would highly, highly recommend not only checking out Kate's information and the work that she's doing, but her husband Ian's music as well. Can you give the listeners the information on how to find that and how also to connect with you?
Yeah, of course I can. Ian's website is www.ianbedow.com. That's IANBEOW.com. And you can download his music on iTunes now, and yeah, he's getting himself out there. And my website is www.katebedow.co.uk. That's KateBedow.co.uk, and there's links to, you know, all our social media and things on there as well. And we've actually worked together to produce some children's meditations, which
fabulous.
You can download on my site, which I'm really proud of because it's so lovely to be able to combine the gifts that we've got. And Ian's music is just incredible with it, you know. When you've got a fairy waving a wand and you can hear it tinkling around the surround sound, it's incredible.
Yes.
Yeah, so...
And
it's lovely to be able to work together on things.
Do you tend to work via Skype? So would you be able to work with listeners who are in the States or, you know,
yeah,
or may
absolutely.
Not be local?
I've done quite a lot of treatments for people in the States, in Scandinavia, in Australia, all over Europe. And a lot of the time, actually, all that's needed is an email and, you know, a little bit of information and maybe a photo of the child. And, yeah, I've had some really incredible results just from, you know, a quick email. And so that's working with energy, isn't it? You know, you can send it wherever you need it to go. So.
And do you tend to find that it takes a certain number of sessions or does it all vary? And how does that tend to play out?
It depends so much on what you're dealing with and the individual child and how receptive they are to it. But I do find that children respond a lot quicker than adults do.
I've found that
quite
as
often,
well.
You know, sometimes it can be, you know, one or two sessions and they seem to be, you know, all straightened out and ready to roll again. You know, other times it might take a bit longer. It depends what you're dealing with, but children definitely absorb the energy quicker.
I've found that as well. And I'm so excited because we're going to take a brief break and then Kate and I will answer questions. So if you have questions that relate to a sensitive child or how to better support a child that may be sensitive or questions about certain things that your child's going through, anything like that, please call in because Kate will be more than happy to answer the questions, and then I will pop in as Spirit moves me to add a little bit here and there. So I'm excited to talk to the callers in a few minutes.
Okay, you've been listening to Lattes of Heaven with Melissa Heppner. As you know, she is on the radio every Thursday from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you miss any part of this show, you can actually go into the archives and replay it. It'll be available about 10 minutes after the show is over. Our website that has information about the show and has links to get to the archives is www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. If you have a question for Kate or Melissa, you can call the number 646-716-9663. That's 646-716-9663. Back to you, Melissa.
Thanks. Are there callers on the line?
Yeah, there is. Let's go ahead and we're going to go ahead and bring Donna on first. Donna, you're on with Melissa and Kate.
Hi, Melissa. Hi, Kate. I'm sorry. I got it a little confused. I wanted to ask a psychic question, so I can wait till people ask the questions. I'm sorry about that.
It's okay. You're on the line, so obviously Spirit wanted you to get through. What's your question?
you're sweet. I have two friends. They're elderly. One lives in Boston, and his sister, who's 94, lives in Canada. And I wanted to know if you ever saw me going to help them in some, you know, capacity, go there and stay with them for a while, and if I'd be meeting someone there as well, because I can't seem to meet a companion here where I live in California.
Okay. Kate, would you like to have a go, or would you like me to...
Oh, I think this is your specialty, hon.
Oh, bless you. my guide is actually talking to me, and as soon as you mentioned it, I actually got very positive confirmation. I do feel as though they'll be traveling for you. It doesn't feel to me as though it'll happen by the end of this year, but probably, I would say around March of next year. I'm usually pretty good with my time frame. I do see you traveling and helping. I think you'll actually end up staying there a little bit longer than you intend to, but it will be for positive reasons. And I do feel someone new coming in to your life. I feel as though where you are now, the energy is kind of stabilized, and so, you know, everything is pretty on schedule and everything, so it's harder for new energy to come in. So I think the trip and putting it out there that you really want to go and manifesting that will help to generate this new companion, at least to stir up the energy in a positive way to allow this new energy to come forth. It's really important, too, that you're specific with Spirit about the type of person that you're looking for. And even just taking the time to write that down, and then with the list, or, you know, not getting too detailed, but maybe your four or five qualities that are really important to you, writing that down and actually putting a rose quartz on it can activate your heart chakra even more and also bring in the energy of a companion for you. But I do see someone new coming, and interestingly enough, it is connected to your trip or to traveling. I don't know per se that you'll meet them on the trip, but certainly after you return or around that time, the energy of the new person will come in. Thank you so much for calling.
Yeah, that resonates with me. Thank you very much. And you're a very sweet person. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, Vicki. You're on with Melissa and Kate.
Hi. I didn't know the topic tonight, but my question is about my daughter. I have two daughters. The younger one is 15, and she has ADHD, and she has a central auditory processing disorder, and she's very bright, but she just really struggles in school, and they have her in a self-contained class, which is a classroom, you know, it's all special ed, and the teachers are special ed, but she really struggles with math. I thought I was going to be able to send her to a community college. I don't know if she'll be able to do that, or I'm thinking maybe a trade school. And she's very intuitive. She's very bright. So I was just wondering what you could see in her future for her. Like, will she be successful, or what direction should I steer her in?
Kate?
I think the important thing with any children is just to let them take the lead with mm-hmm. you know, where their strengths are and where they feel comfortable. It's very, very difficult being in a school environment or a college environment for children who've got, you know, sensitivity. And that in itself can cause all sorts of, you know, learning issues and things. So it might be that, you know, once she's left school that suddenly she discovers a whole new world of learning out there. But I think, you know, when you say she's in a self-contained classroom, is that with other children who've got similar
yes.
needs, or is it completely by herself?
No, she's with three other children, and they also have, I guess, learning disabilities. And she goes to math, science, history, social studies with them, and then they put her in the mainstream class for health and for theater, which she's
right.
just joined this year, and gym.
I think the theater's really good for her. I
yes,
don't know why.
I was picking that up as well.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I just think it's a great opportunity to just be free. I think it's such a liberating subject for all children, but I think particularly, you know, if children are struggling with the confines of the classroom, then doing the theatre studies is definitely a good move for her, I think. Embrace that
yes.
one. What do you think,
and
Melissa?
Actually, as you mentioned her name, I saw literally orange energy around her, which is the energy of the sacral chakra or creativity, which, again, as Kate said, I think the theater is perfect for her. I think it'll help her relate to other children. I also think, because she is very sensitive, that she would respond well to crystals, and actually working with crystals, which really means just wearing certain crystals. And the green jade is really good for sort of filtering the energy, so she's not taking on the energy of the other children, and helping to focus a child who may find, you know, focusing with ADHD is very difficult. So that crystal resonates with the vibration of concentration. So actually getting her green jade and having her wear that every day, particularly in school, will help a great deal. The tricky part with green jade is that it's a very high vibration stone, so it needs to be cleansed at least once a week, and you can do that by placing it in direct sunlight for 3 hours. I think that will help her. I'm also
mm-hmm.
seeing stones writing or journaling as being important for her. It may not be something that comes quite easy right away, but I think the door of theater is going to open that avenue up a little bit. And as that starts to happen, just really support her in that. And I think that's going to help her find a niche. When you mentioned
mm-hmm.
trade school, I got very tingly. I think she's going to do well in a trade school type environment. But
mm-hmm.
I think you're going to be very surprised at the success she'll have in the next couple of years. I think you're going to be shocked, and she'll start to understand her own sensitivity and what works, but definitely the theater is a great avenue to support her and let her blossom and let those things kind of happen.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you for
thank
calling.
You. Okay, bye.
Journaling's so good, especially for teenagers, isn't it?
Yes, it's like a release of
I think
all that energy.
Just, and allowing them to have a book or a space, you know, that's just for them, and telling them that it's fine. You know, if they don't want other people to read it, then it's an amazing way to get things out and release them.
And it seems that when children are sensitive to energy and taking in a lot of energy, the journaling works well to release that and also to help
yeah.
them connect more with their energy and feel confident. So absolutely.
Definitely. Yeah.
Do we have other callers?
Hey, it's Mark. I have a question for Kate and Melissa. I
okay.
have a daughter, Jasmine, who's about 12 years old, who's very gifted, and I wanted to know what I can do to assist her on her path as she, you know, has all her gifts unfold.
When you say she's gifted, Mark, how is she gifted? Is it such a healing, or is she able to connect with spirit? How, is she?
She's able to connect with spirit.
Wow. That's a biggie for a 12-year-old, isn't it?
Yes, that's a lot.
I think anything that makes you different when you get to high school is always going to be something that you question about yourself, isn't it? But something as significant and something that's as big a part of who you are as being able to connect to spirit must be incredibly difficult to deal with. Fortunately, it's not something that I have to deal with myself, but I've got a sneaking suspicion I'm going to have to with at least one of my children. So I'll be interested to hear what Melissa's more her area.
Well, does she tend to communicate or talk about it with you or keep it to herself?
No, with me, she openly communicates.
That's very good, because it's important that you know, help her feel comfortable with discussing her experiences. And again, I think she would respond very well to crystals, which you can get to help her feel safer as you know, spirit energy comes in, and just talk to her about the angels so that she feels protected and feels validated in the things that she's experiencing. Actually, as you were talking about her, I was seeing my symbol from my guide that relates to mediumship. I definitely think she's going to go down the path of being a medium. You know, when that really takes hold and starts developing depends on her comfortability with it. And it may be that she shuts down a little bit just so she can manage everyday life and relate to other children as well. Yeah. But don't be alarmed, because it's definitely not going anywhere. I think that's a big part of her path. And just giving her the tools of the crystals and letting her know that the angels are there to protect her and just allowing that dialogue will be the best thing you can do at this point. And even encouraging her, as we mentioned, to journal, so that if there's things that she might not be comfortable at that moment talking to you about, she can write them down. And when she's ready, you know, that door will always be open and she can go further down that path. But it's interesting, because she's definitely connected both psychically and as a medium, but my guide is showing me the symbol that mediumship is definitely a big part of it. So just to be aware of that and, you know, let her have that dialogue would be the best thing at the moment that you could do.
Can I share a story with both of you?
Yeah, definitely.
Sure.
It was very interesting for me, because at the same time that I noticed that she was gifted was about the same time that I was just starting to go through my own personal spiritual journey. So this is kind of a very unique perspective for parents out there. You know, when I originally started to notice different things with her, you know, me and my wife basically took her to, you know, all the brain, you know, scans and, you know, all that kind of stuff, and to psychiatrists and everything else, because we thought that, you know, she had some type of mental problem. It was very interesting. I almost want to say in a roundabout way that, you know, her going into her development was almost the seed that actually planted in me to start my spiritual journey. Because, you know, through the process of me awakening and everything like that and realizing all the different gifts that I had, I actually was able to notice exactly what was going on with her. And in hindsight, it was kind of crazy, because originally we were, like I said, we were taking her in to have MRIs done and all kinds of stuff, because she would basically be communicating with things that we couldn't see. And, you know, she was talking to herself and everything else, and we weren't quite sure what was going on. And, you know, in hindsight, we realize now that, you know, she was actively talking to spirit and everything else when she was very, very young, and that she was very gifted at a very young age. And it was just kind of interesting to be in that cusp of her showing her abilities at the same time that I was awakening.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I have... Sorry, Melissa.
As you said, it kind of helped set you on your path as well in trying to find answers for her,
yeah,
too. That's amazing.
I have a little boy who's 4.5, Mark, and he at least, you know, until fairly recently, could see spirit. Whether he's starting to question it himself and maybe shut it down a little bit now that he's started school, I don't know. But he has two imaginary friends, or so we thought, until one of my friends who sees spirit came round and pointed out that he was playing with a little boy and a little girl, and that's who he was talking to. I think, you know, quite often, you know, we, as parents, our rational head that's been living in the sort of non-spiritual world for so long can very easily put it down to, you know, monsters under the bed and overactive imaginations and imaginary friends and all that sort of thing. But I think, you know, more and more people are starting up and actually question whether there is something more to it. I know my own parents have actually said that they feel quite bad because they wonder whether they always handled things properly and whether they're a bit more open now if, you know, if they hadn't just dismissed things that I said when I was little and that sort of thing. So it's great that you've gone on this journey with your daughter and helped her to open up as you've opened up as well.
Thank you.
It's a testament to your parenthood because, you know, you did the things that any parent would do because you want to make sure that your child is physically and mentally healthy. But then when those answers, you didn't get answers from that, you just continued and allowed yourself to be open to this other answer and to connecting the spirit. So that's a testament to your own awareness and to your own flexibility in allowing that to happen. So, and I think that really also will help you in working with more people because you'll be sensitive to some of the struggles that they face, whether they be an adult or a child, just going through that as a parent.
Well, thank you. I'll let you know if any other callers come on.
Okay. One thing that I had mentioned a little earlier in the show was that I tend to work with Reiki, and I find that Reiki works very well with children. Do you work the energy with your healing?
I do, hon, yeah. In fact, I teach Reiki to parents as well. I've actually sort of adjusted the Reiki manuals that I was handed down and incorporated more information about using healing with children because there is a distinct difference between, you know, working with children and working with adults. So to incorporate as much of the knowledge that I've gleaned into the manuals as possible, and I actually teach Reiki classes specifically for parents now, which is just fantastic because, as you know, it doesn't just open up the healing energies, it actually opens.
Okay, just drop.
Okay, I wasn't sure. There we have spirit playing up again. One thing that I found is I've worked a lot with teenagers with addiction issues and that sort of thing, and they tend to respond very well to Reiki and healing energy. Even teens, particularly boys that have been unsuccessful in your traditional 12-step program, have had great success in working with energies and crystals to help control those urges that sort of are indicative of addictive behaviors, and also transforming the negative energy that sort of feeds those addictions on a lower vibration into a higher vibration, so it gives them a bit of a energetic toolbox to work with. And typically, I would start a session with a young woman or a young man, a teenager, with this situation, with just basic Reiki to kind of assess where the imbalances are stemming from energetically in their chakras, and then giving them crystals and different techniques to strengthen the trigger areas that are sort of feeding into the vibration of addiction. And interestingly enough, although Reiki healing is different with children, as Kate mentioned, when it comes to issues of addiction and that sort of thing, a lot of the techniques that are used for teenagers tend to be very successful with adults with similar issues if they're open to it. Although the ability to stay clean and to have success tends to work more or a longer period of time with kids because they are indeed more open. And also when you work with their energy tends to be more consistent in staying in a healthier pattern once you strengthen those chakra points. So that's one of the areas that I also love, and I found that holistic techniques can be very, very beneficial. So I'm extremely passionate about that as well. And it can be anything from alcohol addiction to drug addiction to even addiction to video games and computer and technology. But however the addiction manifests itself, energetically, it's the same. And the way you would work with that to raise the vibration and help those tendencies would be the same. But I find Reiki is very good, often when traditional 12-step programs and those sorts have been less successful. But, of course, both together is the most optional or optimal choice when working with an issue difficult like that. I've also worked a great deal with children, both male and female, with eating disorders because those type of issues tend to be the same vibration as an addiction vibration. So children that have struggled with those problems tend to respond very well to Reiki as well. Is Kate back on the line?
I am, hon. I'm sorry.
Yay. That's okay.
Have you
worked with teenagers with addiction type issues or, compulsive type issues before?
Not in person. I've answered a lot of questions by email and things, and done sort of distant work, but find that I don't know whether it's to do with what part of the world you're in, but I find that teenagers are a little bit more reluctant to actually come and see me, particularly about that sort of issue. They're all right with I'm struggling because I'm having hormone problems or I hate my mom more. But it takes a bit more courage, doesn't it, to actually sort of face up to somebody and this sort of thing. So no, I haven't dealt with a lot of addiction issues, I suppose, fortunately.
And spirit uses us and brings us to the children and the adults that we're supposed to interact with at different periods as we grow as healers as well. So that may be something that comes along more readily, or that might not be part of your past so much.
I think the thing is as well, teenagers are a very sort of, they're the bridge between childhood and adulthood, aren't they? And I think the majority of teenagers probably opt to go to an adult healer rather than somebody who specialised in children, because by that point they just don't see themselves as children anymore, do they? So I tend to work with sort of younger children and babies rather than teenagers.
Right. Well, I have been very surprised and happy to notice, at least there's been a trend here recently in the States where more teens have come to me. In addition to, a traditional psychologist, that is my background, psychology and counseling. So I am very familiar with that work as well. But, of course, if someone comes to you as a healer, you can't work with them as a psychologist so you have to keep that very separate. But I find that teenagers, at least here, are more open to coming to, say, a spiritual advisor or a healer than they are if their parent says you're going to a psychologist, because there's not as much stigma to the idea of holistic healing. So that's a trend that I've seen here in the States that I'm quite pleased with.
That, I think when it comes to all things spiritual, we're always a couple of steps behind you.
I think it also depends to the avenue of spirituality, because in terms of mediumship, where you are is kind of the mecca of where that started. So I think it also depends what area of the journey you're going on to. Overall, I think there is a strong call for holistic and spiritual work for the younger generations, for children, which is great for our future and so encouraging, particularly as children that are more sensitive are being born into the world.
Definitely.
Do you feel that as well?
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, I don't know about over in the States, but we actually have Reiki healers working in some of our hospitals now, you know, on the sort of children's wards and helping out there. So, you know, it's definitely becoming more and more widely available, which is wonderful.
Yes, and even here in the States, they've started to do studies that both with adults with cancer as well as children with cancer, those that are incorporating meditation and crystal healing and Reiki healing in addition to the traditional treatment methods are having longer survival rates and more curative rates than those that are specifically focusing on traditional medicine, which just goes to show the power of you know, working with both energies equally. So slowly, I think we're starting to progress more in this area, which is very, very good.
Definitely.
Hey, Melissa,
I think the thing is...
You're down to your last minute.
Okay, time flies. I want to thank you, Kate, for coming on. And quickly, give your information, how the listeners can connect with you.
My website is www.katebedo.co.uk. That's katebedo.co.uk. And all my other information's on there. There's contact forms and social networking and everything. So, yeah, drop me a line.
Everybody have a beautiful evening. Thank you for listening, and we'll connect next week.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Thank you,
Melissa. You've been listening to Spiritual Connections Radio, and this is Lattes of Heaven with Melissa Cover. She's on every Thursday from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you missed any part of this show, you can listen to it in the archives as a replay. Thank you.
Bye.